1 Corinthians chapter 12, and
So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at the beginning of the chapter. That's page 1153 in the Church Bibles, if you've got it. Now, about spiritual gifts. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Let's just pray for Peter before he gives us his message. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for today. We thank you so much for this wonderful weather and that we can all be here this morning. Mm. Lord, I pray that you bless Peter as he brings this message to us, Lord. And we pray that he says the words that you give him and that we hear what we need to hear, Lord. Not just the words, Lord, but we hear your message through them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Thanks a lot. Thank you. I've called the message this morning concerning spiritual gifts, taking the words from the beginning of chapter 12. Before we really dive into this passage, I want to focus on the middle of the passage, verses 12 to 13, the Spirit of God and the Church of God. Following and belonging to Jesus means being part of his church. And chapter 12 gives us one of the most exciting portraits in the Bible of what it is to be part of a church. Every Christian believer is meant to find their place in this amazing community of grace that God has created. And it's in the context of that community that Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks to us about spiritual gifts. Now, sadly, today, the subject of spiritual gifts and their place in the body of Christ has become a source of disagreement amongst Christians. Some churches talk about them all the time. Some churches never mention them. And this is so sad because spiritual gifts are meant to unify and to build up the body, not divide. In fact, they're absolutely vital to the life and the witness of the church. And that's why the work of the Spirit and spiritual gifts in the church are going to be the focus of what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. So if you come to the Bible study this coming week, we're going to be exploring the subject of spiritual gifts a little bit further. I want to begin by focusing then on these verses in chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, that are really like the theological hinge between the two halves of the chapter. Let me read them to you. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink. So the first half, verses 1 to 11, talk about the Spirit of God. If you were to follow through that passage, you would see that the word Spirit appears 9 times in those verses. The body, not at all. And then you go into verses 14 to 30. They talk about the church of God as a body. And the word body appears 14 times, but the Spirit doesn't appear at all. And we're going to focus on verses 1 to 13 today. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to look at the second half of the chapter. And these verses tell us 3 important truths about the work of the Spirit and the church of God, the body of Christ. They help us to understand how the Spirit works in the church. And here's the first truth that I want us to get hold of. All believers are immersed or baptized in and indwelt by God's Spirit. Sometimes people say, you know, when does the Spirit come into a person's life? The Bible says when a person is converted. The Old Testament prophets looked forward to a day when God would pour out his Spirit upon his church without limit on all people. God promised a day would come when he would take residence in ordinary, sinful, and yet forgiven people who would experience the power of the Holy Spirit at work within them. When anyone becomes a believer, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes to indwell and to fill that individual. And Paul affirms this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 when he says that you actually cannot be a Christian without the Spirit. You can't be a Christian if the Holy Spirit doesn't live within you. And then secondly, God's Spirit unites believers together to Jesus. We see that in verse 12. The Spirit unites every Christian to Christ. As Christians, we don't just follow Jesus. We are one with Jesus. We're part of his body. And the fact that we are the body of Jesus, that changes everything about the way that we deal with one another, the way that we are together, and our commitment to one another as Christian believers. The way we treat one another is the way that we treat Jesus. That means that each of us, without exception, has a part to play in the body of Christ, as part of his body. There are no, as it were, bystanders. We are one with each other. We are part of the body, and as such are meant to be active in that body. Now, I know there are parts of the body that aren't supposed to do anything. Was it they used to say there was one bit of the body that didn't do anything, so they kept cutting it out. What was that bit? You remember that bit? And oh, yeah, the appendix, that's right. And then they suddenly realized it actually did have an important part to play. So, you know, there is no part of the body that doesn't have a part to play. And then thirdly, believers receive grace from God's Spirit to make the body work right. As a body, we're all different. We're all kind of crazy people. God brings us all together. We're all different, aren't we? And you think, how on earth are we ever going to learn to get on and to grow together? But God has given us his Spirit to make the body work right. Each of us, the Bible says, has received grace gifts from the Holy Spirit. Someone put it like this. Spiritual gifts are the supernatural ways God's Spirit works through God's children to make God's Son look good. All right? Get it? The supernatural ways God's Spirit works through God's children to make God's Son look great. And if that is true, then Jesus has trusted you and me with his reputation. It's crazy, isn't it? He's trusted us with his reputation, with how he looks in this world. How we look as the body of Christ to the world is all the world knows and sees of Jesus. That's why these gifts are so important. That's why the work of the Spirit is so important. And if we ignore them or misuse them, The world is confused because Jesus doesn't look right. Well, there's a little bit of an introduction. Let's go a little deeper into the passage. Let's try to understand the work of the Spirit and spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, according to this passage, are easily misunderstood and misused. We see that in verse 1. You remember how in this letter, Paul is answering questions that the Corinthian church had written to him. They've asked him a series of questions, and he's answering them in this letter. And one of the questions they'd asked concerned the use of spiritual gifts, perhaps possibly some of the more, should we say, miraculous gifts. And what becomes clear in these chapters as you read them is that the Corinthians had misunderstood the purpose and the function of the gifts of the Spirit. So we read in verse 1, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed." There was a lot of confusion about the use of gifts in Corinth. So we have to remember that many of the Corinthians had come from pagan backgrounds, where all kinds of strange, ecstatic, and mystical experiences were not only normal, but were to be expected. The pagan religions would teach that the more out of control a person was, the more out of their body, the more the Spirit of God or the Spirit must have been on them, or the more that the spirits were working through them. Some of the Christians at Corinth had imported that thinking into the church, believing that the more ecstatic their spiritual experience, the greater the presence of the Spirit. As you read chapter 12, you'll see some of the areas where that confusion and wrong thinking had dominated their gatherings. So just to give a couple of examples, there were believers at Corinth who said that every Christian should be able to speak in tongues in a public meeting. And Paul, verse 30, he has to refute this. He said, God doesn't give that gift to every Christian. And then others saw their gifts as a way of boosting their position in the church, verse 21. And so he's saying that spiritual gifts can be used wrongly. And when that happens, there can be disarray and disunity in the church. And that's how it was in Corinth. And that's actually how it is in many churches today. There was confusion, there was chaos, there were people with big egos, and there was pride, and there was envy, and there were people who thought they didn't have a part to play in the church. 1 Corinthians 12:2, Paul says, "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." You see, pagan religion tends to bypass the mind and concentrate primarily on passions and emotions. But the Spirit, says Paul, doesn't lead us to mute idols, for our God is the living God who has revealed us to himself in his word and in Christ. He's the God who speaks to us with penetrating clarity. And that's something that should be reflected in our gatherings together. So spiritual gifts are easily misunderstood and misused. But then secondly, we see here that God's Spirit is at work when believers love and worship Jesus. And they love and worship Jesus. Verse 3. It seems from verse 3 that a key part of the Corinthians' question revolved around what we might call the speaking gifts. But what Paul says here is a good test for all spiritual gifts. Our attitude to Jesus is the true test of all spirituality. Is what we're doing glorifying Jesus? Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit works in believers to glorify Jesus. In John 16, 14, Jesus said that the Spirit will glorify me. How do we know that something is of the Spirit? We might say, does it make the name of Jesus famous? Does it bear witness to his true nature? Is it drawing people to him? Is it glorifying him? Or is it calling attention to us? Is it causing people to say, "What a great person I am," or "You are"? I remember hearing of some Roman Catholic believers who said that the Spirit helped them to worship Mary better. Well, that's not of the Spirit. That's not of the Spirit. So the Spirit is at work when everyone speaks in tongues. So that's what some people were saying. No, says Paul, the test is, are people responding to Jesus and exalting him? Verse 3. The Spirit shows us Jesus. The Spirit is at work when people's eyes and ears and hearts are being opened to see Jesus and to trust in him. The Spirit focuses on Jesus. A Spirit-filled church focuses and loves and worships Jesus. And then thirdly, God's Spirit works through all believers in many different ways. And this is so important. We're not all the same. Praise God, we're not all the same. We may not feel that we have much to offer as believers. Some of us may think, well, I've got so little to give. I might just sit where I am and just take in, because I've got really nothing I can give. Well, the Bible says that's not the way God made it to be. His plan is to use each and every one of us to grow his church, to build his church. And he wants to use each one of us to see that happen. There's diversity within the framework of unity. Do you see that? Verse 4-6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them and in all people. So in other words, the Father and the Son and the Spirit work together to bring together a diverse and different group of people. And he gives us different gifts to promote the growth and the unity of that church. And so we're to rejoice in our diversity and difference. We don't all have the same gifts. That's why we need each other. We're going to see a bit more of that in a couple of weeks' time. We need the input of each other if the church is to grow. None of us is irrelevant to the growth of the church. That's why God puts us in communities. Communities where we need each other in order that we might grow. None of us can make it on our own. We need each other. And notice how, I wonder if you saw this, different words are used to express the way that the Spirit brings grace gifts into the life of the church. Did you see that? Verse 4, there are gifts. Verse 5, there are services. Verse 6, there are workings. Verse 7, there are activities and manifestations. The focus isn't just on gifts, but on the many ways that the Spirit is at work energizing his people. So perhaps rather than saying, I wonder what my gift is, we should be asking, what are the ways that the Spirit is at work in me so that I can serve his church? What are the activities and the ministries that I can get involved in order that others may be blessed? What are the ways that the Spirit is seeking to be at work in me for the benefit of the life of the church? God's Spirit works through all believers in different ways. Hopefully you're still with us there. Let's go to the fourth area where Paul teaches the Corinthians and teaches us. Fourthly, God's Spirit is at work when believers love and serve one another. 1 Corinthians 12:7 is a key verse in this chapter where we read this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Corinthians had allowed spiritual gifts to become a source of pride and division. And Paul wants them to understand that the measure of a spiritual gift is not how impressive it makes us seem, but the degree to which it builds the body up in love and truth. This whole chapter emphasizes God's sovereignty as he distributes gifts to his church. Verse 11, he gives just as he determines. Verse 18, God arranges the parts of the body. Verse 24, God composes the body. Verse 28, God appoints. Not only is he rich in grace and mercy, but he's always at work by his Spirit, working in different ways to demonstrate his love and truth in our lives. And let's say this as well. God doesn't give his gifts for good behavior. It's not that God says, right, you've been a good girl today. You've been a good boy today. Let me give you another gift. No. These gifts are not to reward our performance or even as a mark of spiritual growth. He simply gives these gifts to us as expressions of his grace and love. You see, a spirit-filled church is a radically other person-centered church, not a platform to show how good we are. And God pours out his grace gifts on us in order that we might serve others. And we each have a gift by which we can build the church. The Corinthians, you see, were people largely of low standing. Perhaps that's why they struggled for position so much. In verse 13, Paul has to tell them that they're members of one body, equally united with Christ. And he wants us to see that we equally have a part to play in the life of the church and its growth to maturity. That's amazing, isn't it? Whatever you think about yourself, whatever other people think about you or you think they think about you, you have a part to play in the life of the church. Everyone is to be involved. Paul is showing us what it means to be part of a community. That's why the truly spiritual person is not just committed to Jesus Christ, but also to his body, to the church. Through these grace gifts, God, the Holy Spirit, is energizing us as we serve one another and serve within the communities in which he's placed us. And so we should expect that when the Spirit gets to work in us, that we will see lives being changed. That we'll see relationships being transformed. We should expect to see talents released, congregations growing, and the saints of God equipped for works of service. Can you see what Paul's saying? If we can really get hold of this, if we allow the Spirit to ignite these gifts and manifestations of his work among us, the life of the work of the church and its witness will be transformed. Because every member of the church will be contributing to the life of this colorful, diverse life and ministry of the church. So fifthly, spiritual gifts then should be desired, discovered, and developed. You know, of course, there are those of us, and I guess I've been in this place before, where we've looked at the chaos that spiritual gifts seems to cause in the churches, and we look at the chaos, and we've seen how spiritual gifts have often been the cause of churches dividing and splitting, and we say, the best thing is just not have anything to do with them. Let's just keep away from spiritual gifts because they seem to cause so much division. And some churches have done that, and you never hear them talk about the spiritual gifts. You never hear them talk about the work of the Spirit. And then there are others, and that's all they talk about. No, see what Paul does. Paul says you to seek them and desire them. See that in verse 12, in chapter 12 and verse 30. He urges them to earnestly seek after them. He says, you know, earnestly desire the greater gifts. And then in 14:1, follow the way of love. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. These gifts are incredibly important for our spiritual well-being. But we also need to ensure that we pursue these spiritual gifts in God's way. Well, the final part of this chapter, verses 8 through to 10, that we're looking at this morning, we see God's grace in action. Because Paul now lists 9 examples of this rich variety of ways in which the Spirit reveals himself, where God's people are serving out of love for him, love for their neighbor, and a conviction that Jesus is Lord. And this is one of a number of lists, or spiritual gifts in the Bible, given for the good of the body. Now, it's not the only list. You'll find lists in Romans chapter 12, in Ephesians chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4, and in other places of the Bible. And these lists are often overlapping, and they have different gifts listed in them. I don't think we're meant to focus on these 20 or so gifts that these lists contain. These are just representative examples of some of the ways that the Holy Spirit equips his people for the common good of the body. I'm convinced that these different lists are examples of the limitless, boundless ways that the Spirit of God equips us and manifests his power amongst his people. Some have tried to define what these gifts are and how they function. But you know, it's very difficult to do that with some of these gifts. We often don't know what they are exactly, or even how they were exercised. If you read the commentaries, you'll see phrases like, this probably means, or maybe this is. Phrases like that, because it's very difficult to know exactly what some of these gifts look like. But the point is that the Spirit shows up in many ways as he builds up the body of Christ. As I said, on Tuesday, we're going to try and explore some of those gifts in a little bit more detail. But when it comes to spiritual gifts, we need to focus on what we do know, not what we don't know. And what we do know is that these gifts are given to build up the body. They're given as expressions of God's grace by which we make Jesus look great. This is the emphasis, all the spiritual gift passages. It's not so much on discovering your gift or what the Spirit is doing in me. Rather, the focus is what is the Holy Spirit doing for the common good of all God's people. So while we discover that there are gifts that do build us up, God's priority is always to build up the church. And so we too should use these grace gifts to excel in building up the church. Verse chapter 14, verse 12. And again, let all things be done for the building up of the body. Don't worry about trying to put a label on what the Spirit is doing. Look at your life. Ask yourself, what is God doing in me? And what does he want to do through me to spur others on and strengthen them in their faith? Many of the gifts that Paul highlights here are what we might call the supernatural gifts. And I think Paul is focusing in on them because these were the ones that the Corinthians were getting themselves in a real tangle over. But Paul reminds us that along with these speaking and serving gifts, whatever the gift is, each gift is empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit and for the good of the body. The question we need to ask ourselves is, how can I use the gifts God has given me to honor Christ more? Perhaps your gift is organizing. Maybe you've been equipped to be a patient listener or to comfort a hurting believer. Maybe he's equipped you to teach or to encourage, or maybe he's given you a generous heart. Is there something that I could do that could serve or build the body? Often we discover the gifts God's given us by using them, by simply getting out there and serving, by using the many faceted opportunities to serve others. As 1 Peter puts it like this in chapter 4, as each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varying grace, in order that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Spiritual gifts are given that God might be glorified, and that his church might be strengthened, so we mustn't ignore them. He's wired you exactly the way that he wants you to accomplish his purpose and his desire. Don't desire what other people have got. Don't be envious of their gifts. Don't be pressurized into expressing a gift that clearly God hasn't given to you. Rest in God's sovereign work. He's created you just the way he wants you. Pray, seek opportunities to serve. And let's talk to each other about the different ways that God wants to use us. Let's talk about those gifts that he's given to us. Often, you know, we discover the gifts that God has given to us when other people talk to us. Many, many years ago, I remember someone saying to me, they'd asked me to preach. And I just never imagined that I would ever, ever, in a million years, be a pastor. And then someone said to me years ago, it was when I was just a teenager, they said, oh, I think you'll be a pastor one day. And I said, no, no way, not a chance. Now, you know, sometimes other people can be the means of helping us to identify those gifts that he's given. So let's pray as we begin this journey into the looking at the work of the Spirit as he works. So let's be open to what he wants to teach us. Let's be discerning. Let's pray for God's help as a church as we look at these things together. Let's pray now. Father, we pray as we move soon into our gathering around the Lord's table. Father, we pray that you would help us with this subject. For Lord, we recognize it's been a subject of much controversy and division. And Lord, we don't want it to be like that at Prettygate. We want it to be a subject that we look at that will help us to grow in our faith and will help the church to grow in maturity. And so, Father, would you help us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's continue to worship.